Sure.
Where I grew up till I was 16.
Okay.
Where I stayed till I was 16. And then I went, my mother married Henry Town, you know. I went up there till I went in the service for 27 months, and then I got married and lived right here ever since.
So you went down there the first 4 years, right?
Yeah.
To North Leverett.
And you walked down there? Walked to school every day?
Yeah, I think I must have. Unless it was wintertime, we could slide down there.
How's
it
treat?
They didn't plow the roads then, you know, like they do now. And we could start right at the top of the driveway and slide right down the school.
Awesome.
I had a bicycle, too, when I was old enough to ride one. So maybe I rode that down. I forgot now.
Who were your teachers when you went? You know?
I think Edith Baxter was my first grade teacher. You know Edith Baxter?
No,
you know, you wouldn't know her. Of course you wouldn't.
But I don't know the name either.
You know where Eamon lives, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right up on top of the bank he has, where Edith and Forrest and Bill lives.
Yeah.
So I think she was my teacher in the first grade. And I don't know, there was two or three others, I think. I don't know. I think there was a Mrs. Mead. I think that's the only one I can tell you.
Hmm. What grade did she teach? Do you remember?
Well, there was one teacher for four grades, so she taught the whole of them, I guess.
That's right, I forgot.
There used to be a teacher that lived in Mary Ward's house right there, side of the church, and she used to teach way up on Chestnut Hill, and she used to have to walk way up there every morning to teach and walk every all the way back at night, you know.
There
weren't many cars on the road then, you know.
Yeah. So there was a schoolhouse up at the Four Corners? It was a Montague school then.
Yeah, that was in Montague, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was a teacher. I don't know if she was Mrs. Mead or I'm mixed up with the Mrs. Mead that used to teach down here. I can't remember now, but...
How did they keep the building warm in the cold weather?
Wood.
It
had a wood stove in there.
And who got that going? Or where did they get the wood, do you know?
Well, they had a woodshed right at the back of the school, you know. And I don't know now, so somebody used to fill it up pretty well. And I guess us kids used to take turns probably going out and getting the wood when school was on, you know. I don't really remember, but it was a big stove in there that used to burn wood all the time, you know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And you guys were grades 1 to 4 at North Leverett?
Yeah.
So you weren't really old enough to come down and get the stove going in the morning. Somebody must have done that.
No, I don't think I did, no.
Yeah. Maybe the teacher did that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or maybe Marcia thought maybe Barbara's brothers would go over and get the fire going. I don't know if they would, Lloyd or what's the other brother?
I doubt it. I don't believe they did.
No.
I don't believe they did. I don't know who did.
And was it a long school day? Did it start in early in the morning, or what? Do you remember about what time?
No, I don't. I don't remember.
But you were there most of the day, right?
Yeah. Just about the same hours as they keep in most any schools now, I suppose.
Like 8 to 3 or something like that.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember.
You were a little guy.
What do you remember about the school day, like sitting at desks or moving around or recess?
What do I remember about the desk?
Yeah.
I know they had a desk in front of us and a seat there. That's all I know. That's where we sat all the day that we was there, I guess.
Did you do reading?
You never went to school at all then, did you?
No, I never went there.
Where'd you go to grammar school?
The consolidated school had already started. I was the second class to go there. I started in 1951.
Uh-huh.
And they opened the school in 1950.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
But where was that school?
The Leverett School. Center School.
Oh, I see. Right where it is now then,
right,
huh?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I never went to the
yeah.
one-room schoolhouse.
Yeah, so that's when they built that school that's still there in 1951? 1950,
uh-huh.
1950, so you went in 1951, oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's where my kids went too then, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of your friends? Who were your friends when you went to school?
I don't know if I had any. it was all the kids that lived around here, of course. It was all, this was the only school till that one was built where you went, you know. So.
Right.
Except down Leverett, East Leverett, and there was two more schools down in East Leverett, weren't they? They had a graduation down in East Leverett, remember, but you know what the center of East Leverett is, and you know what old schoolhouse used to be, don't
in
you?
In East Leverett? On
yeah.
the bank there?
Yeah, or up on the bank.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's where they had the graduation.
Was like Lee Glazier or Warren Glazier go to school with you?
Well, I imagine.
You don't remember them, though.
I don't remember them in North Leverett here, but I don't know, probably did. He would be somewhere near my age.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Black and Harry Pratt. Harry Pratt used to live over that way. Your folks did, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There was Joe Dick, I think. He used to drive the school bus from. You remember Joe Dick?
No.
Yeah, he drove the school bus with a horse from down right across from Roberta Bryant's down there, only on the opposite side, right across the road at that big red house, right in the corner of Montague Road.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And Joe Dick used to drive the school bus up to North Leverett. I don't think he had only one or two kids in it, but he.
Huh.
He brought him up with a horse to the school down here.
Huh.
So he had a covered cart that he brought?
I don't remember that. I don't remember what he had. Probably he had a...
A cart with a little roof on it or something?
I don't know what he had in the wintertime, but he probably had a...
Sleigh.
A buggy or something with two seats in it with a top on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And how did you get, when you went to Morse Connor, how did you get up there?
Well, I probably took my bicycle some of the time, but after Doolittle, then he had a Model A Ford station wagon.
Arthur
they
Doolittle?
They called it a beach wagon then, I think.
Yes, I remember. Beach, but that's what we used to call them.
Yeah,
beach
I know, he used to stop and get me once in a while, unless I rode my bicycle up, you know.
That was... Arthur Doolittle was his name?
Yeah, Arthur Doolittle, yeah. Yeah.
That's what I call that house down there next to where the Aikens were, right? That's where he lived.
Yeah, right across from the Hannahbrook Road there. Hannahbrook Road?
Yeah.
Goes up back of you there?
Yeah. Yep, right on the other side of that.
Yeah, I remember we used to make jokes about the name Doolittle.
Oh, yeah.
And who did you have for teachers at Morse Connor, do you remember?
Well, your mother was the last teacher.
She was your last teacher?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Okay. I think Ruth Watson taught up there too, but I don't know now whether she taught when I was there or not. But Ruth Watson, you know, used to live, Glenn Watson used to live in that house just beyond the cemetery.
Yeah, she was a sweet
lady. You know, I don't know who.
Lois Dunbar.
Who?
Lois Dunbar. or what was her?
Truesdell.
Lois Truesdell? Was she a teacher?
No, was you Clarissa, or her?
Yeah,
your mother wasn't it?
Well, and Lois would have been her sister-in-law.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because her husband, Roland,
mother's brother died early. Your mother was the last teacher up there.
Well, then you
I don't know about the last. I don't know how long the school did go on after I got out of there.
Well, what year did you finish up there, do you know? What year it was?
Geez, I don't think I could tell you now.
Yeah. What year were you born? I forgot. 30.
I was born in
23.
Oh, you're age of my mother.
So you might have been, who's in eighth grade? How old are you in eighth grade? Like 14?
About 12.
14.
13, yeah.
You must have been.
12 or 13 when I got out there.
Uh-huh. And where did you go then, after that?
So that was 1936.
I didn't go nowhere. That was the end of me.
Oh, you could stop at eighth grade?
Yeah. No, I never went. I went to Amherst College. I mean, Amherst High School for a half a year, and that's all.
Oh.
I didn't like that. I quit and went to work.
Were you 16 then?
I don't know.
Didn't you have to go to school till 16, or wasn't it that a law then?
I don't know. I don't remember if there's any.
But when you lived,
you had to go to school so long, but. But the teacher kept giving me a lot of book reports, and to read a book report and get up in front of people and tell about what was in the book, and so that was enough of me. I didn't like to get up in front of people and try to tell them what I read in the book, so I quit right there.
Well,
sounds like a good reason.
I talked to Doris Roberts, Doris Black,
yeah,
about her school years, and she said she went to Amherst one day, went to the Amherst school just one day and quit. So she beat
you. Probably went to New Salem Academy, though, didn't they? A lot of kids went to New Salem Academy.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of them around here did, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Carl, my husband, did.
Yeah. Yeah. She passed away a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Doris did.
I made the mistake when I went to interview her. She was watching a Red Sox game. Uh-huh. She was not concentrating on what I wanted her to say.
No, too interested in the game, huh?
Yeah.
Did my mother live upstairs while you were going to school in Morse Connor?
She
lived upstairs in your house.
Yeah, she did there for a while.
Did she give you a ride? Or she didn't have a car? I forget.
Yeah,
I don't even know how she got up there.
She bought a new car in 1937, I remember. had a smaller motor in it, had a 60 horsepower motor in it. And I guess that must be when she and your father got married, too. And I ain't sure either, but she did live upstairs there for a while.
Yeah, they got married in
38. Let me see. Yeah, your mother was teaching school up here in Morse Connor then, sure.
Yeah. Did she help you out at all when you were home? Did she
tell you
the answers or anything? No.
No, I don't remember if she did.
Probably not. I'm just joking with you.
So what was your favorite part of school? What part of the day was your favorite in school?
Well, probably when school let out for the day and recess time or something. That's all I can tell you.
Well, what did you do at recess? Do you remember?
Well, they used to let all the kids outdoors and, I don't know, just play around until the bell rang again, I guess. No, I don't remember.
Arnold Glazier spoke about sliding down the hill from the Moore's Corner Church,
yeah,
all the way down to the street, you know, during recess time.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but I don't know, maybe he was there at different years than I was. I don't know for sure.
Well, they also told about, Harold Black told about sliding down Cave Hill and going across North Leverett Road, and the story was that he went under a truck that happened to be going. You know,
no.
I don't know if that was true or not. Knowing Harold, he might have expanded on it a little bit.
Oh, we used to slide down Mill Hill.
Oh, okay.
Mill Hill a lot, you know.
Yeah.
That.
Okay, well, that, yeah, that's good and steep, isn't it?
Yeah. Some of the boys used to have a rip, you know, and it would hold three or four people, you know.
Mm.
Maybe even five or six.
Mm.
Well, we'd get up Mill Hill and get sometimes the snow was just right, you know. You get going pretty fast when you hit that bridge. You wonder if you're going to hit it or going on one side or the other or into the river.
You have to steer a little bit, lean, right?
Yeah, sometimes the snow was just right there. You wouldn't go just where you wanted to go anyway.
Yeah.
You used to have steering wheel like a car on them rips.
Oh, really?
Then, you know, sometimes. Oh. That's something that the guys would rig up themselves on a rip, you know, a regular steering wheel, like a car.
What fun.
Oh, kids used to go all over here between North Leverett and more coming up Dan Glazier's Hill, you know, where the cemetery is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was Dan Glazier's Hill, we called it. Uh-huh. Dan Glazier used to live right at the bottom of the hill. That was Arnold's grandfather, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who used to saw, well, no, Perry was his son. Mm-hmm. Perry used to saw last down here.
Did you help out at the sawmill ever?
No, I didn't. I picked up a little lumber after Perry sawed it. But Perry run that mill after. Well, I guess Dan's father is the one that started that mill, but I don't know if he's the one that put the mill in. Of course, I never knew him. But then Dan was after him. That was his son, and then it was Perry was his son. Perry lived up where Lee Glazier does now, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was three Glaziers that run it. Then the Curly boys bought it, you know, and they run it for a couple of years. No, nobody runs it.
Yeah.
I remember Harold Black doing some cutting there even when the Curlies owned it, I think, didn't they? Didn't the Blacks?
Jim. Up there. Yeah, Jim was sawed for them maybe a couple of years there.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess
then
that's...
Then they had another mill just across the river where that house is there where... Curly Lady still lives there, don't she?
Yeah.
No, not now.
Oh,
she's renting it.
Right. Yeah.
You don't know?
She's renting it.
She's renting it, you know? Oh.
I think she
lives in Amherst now, or just over the line in Hadley in those apartments there on Route 9.
So. Oh, yeah.
Did you play baseball at all? Do you remember?
Not much. I did a little bit. They used to play baseball here in Linscott Field, right across the river, you know, from the old folks over on there. Yeah, they used to play there a little bit.
What position did you play? Do you remember?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Did you ever have recess inside? Or was it always outside, even in the wintertime?
Well, probably it was inside and the weather was bad, you know.
Play checkers or something? Or games, some kind of board games or something?
I don't know.
Card games?
I don't remember. Inside, probably just raise the devil all we could, all we could get away with.
Were you ever disciplined?
By who, the teacher?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I was or not, but Edith Baxter, I said that was my first grade teacher. I think they used to slap the kids a little bit then. They wasn't allowed to use after that much, too, but I think they used to, I think she used to have to slap the kids a little bit. I don't know, with a ruler or what else, but I don't know.
Huh.
If she had to, you know. They didn't do that for many years then, you know.
Did my mother ever discipline you?
She tried to, I think. Yeah, she and Ethel Glazier, you know Ethel Glazier?
Yes.
And me, and I don't know what we used to laugh at, but we used to laugh so damn much in school. And she used to make us come up with our desk and seat, and Ethel would be on one side of her desk, and I'd be on the other side. She used to make us, I don't know what we were laughing at now, but we used to do a lot of laughing at school for some reason. She'd make us
that's funny.
Sit on each side of her desk. Yeah, I guess
that was
that's
it.
About all it was to it that I know of. my memory ain't too good for long distance.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You're remembering a lot. Yeah, a lot.
You probably didn't dare act up too much because my mother would tell Lina. And you'd be in big trouble then, huh?
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
Do you remember what you had for lunch? Did you bring your lunch with you?
Geez, I don't remember. Maybe we brought a little lunch. I don't know. I can't remember really whether we brought some lunch for home, or what? Well, I don't remember anybody else brought any in either. But maybe, well, I would imagine we'd have to have a lunch, wouldn't you? A little bit, but sometime during the day. I don't remember nothing about that.
Hmm. Too busy laughing.
That's cute.
When you were having a lesson, was it easy for you to concentrate? Or were you every once in a while listening to what the other older kids were doing? Do you remember?
No, I don't really.
Because
I don't know how a teacher can teach.
Yeah.
So, it's because it was before they split up the grades there, it was one teacher for eight grades each school, you know. Mm. I don't know how one teacher could teach eight grades. I should think that would be quite a job on you.
Mm-hmm. I would think so. But you never went then.
Yeah, I did down here until it was eight grades until they split them up, and then had four lower grades down here and the last four up there. Mm. Eight grades down here.
So when you started school, you started down here though?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was still all eight grades.
Yeah. I must have gone only four years down here. Then they split them up for the last four up there. See.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, it was eight grades down here and eight grades up here, and one teacher for each school.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere then, you know, a lot of one-room schoolhouses, and I think it was seven schoolhouses, and you know, I got a book here that we just put a new furnace in down here, and Bob used to take everything when the house got filled up here. She'd take things down cellar, you know, and we pretty well cleaned out the cellar here. Glenn and his boys did here before we put in a new furnace, and they came across the. Have you got any of them old books?
The school books, you mean?
Oh, She told all about when Leverett was, when Leverett was born, you know that, do you? Any of you?
I don't know which book you're referring to. Is it about the one-room schoolhouses?
No. Well, yeah, it tells a little about that. But yeah. And so Tina ran across some of these books. I guess this is the one right here. Yeah, see, that's interesting. You can take it and read it, but I'd like it back because I'd like to have my kids read about that too.
Sure.
44 pages in it. Read that. Tells you when Ralph Leverett was born. Oh. See, right up here on that. Can you see that on this side?
Oh yeah, this is probably all Edie knows. Leverett is born March 5th, 1774.
Well, that's
daughter of Sunderland, granddaughter of Hadley, great granddaughter of Northampton, great great granddaughter of Springfield, great 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 granddaughter of Massachusetts Bay Colonies. So you have one?
Yeah, I have some.
Here's a town report from 1774 to 1974.
That's the bicentennial when we celebrated our 200th birthday.
Oh yeah, oh, it was, huh? Yeah, here's a town report of 1970 and 1973.
Good enough. Good job.
That tells about a lot of things in Leverett, huh? 44 pages of it. I read it one night here after Tina found them saw it there. Bob must have taken it down there, you know. She...
Good, I'm glad you saved them. Archer Home, built by John.
You can take it and read it, but I'd like it back. Cause
where's the Archer Home?
Glenn has...
That's the one on 63. He raises sheep. He has a sheep in the yard.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh,
right
of course,
to,
yeah.
Right next to, just before the Friends Meeting House.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And Finley's on the other, Finley's old house is on the other side.
Thanks, I'll borrow this. I'll bring it back to you.
That's really interesting if you read it all. Tells about all the sawmills and the book mill and everything. It was down through from Lake Wyola, you know, to Billings is down there to the underpass. There was seven places, I think.
Wow.
And it said it was seven schoolhouses in Leverett, too, at one time. I don't know where they all were, but...
Well, and we actually have a little gift for you that tells about the schoolhouses that we're going to give you to thank you for doing this interview. So it's kind of interesting that this was put together in 2000. So it was on the 50th anniversary of the school, the one they have now, but this is...
You'll find that interesting, Wayne.
Yeah.
That's just to thank you for letting us pick your brain.
Well, as long as you don't pick too far, because I ain't got much of a brain.
Oh, you stop it. We wish we could have a brain like yours.
Yeah.
You have, all right.
You've
been a teacher too, haven't you?
23 he was born.
Oh, okay. Yes. You've been a teacher for a number of years,
yes. I've been and then here at Leverett.
Where did you teach?
Where?
Yeah.
I taught it, first of all, full-time, I taught at Bement School in Deerfield.
Oh, yeah.
A private school. I was there 14 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I did my own school for 14 years.
Oh yeah, all and the way you live now.
Yeah, and then I let my brain go mush.
Oh. You said enough is enough, huh?
Yeah, but I enjoyed every minute of it. It was fun to be a teacher.
Yeah. I don't know how anybody could be a teacher.
Well, not today. I don't think I'd survive so well.
I guess you would. You're still young today.
Thank you, but only in your eyes, Wayne.
How old are you?
72.
Are you really?
Yeah. An old lady.
I would have guessed you was in the 50s, but...
Oh, thank you. I'll bring you some of that grape jelly I made today.
Do you remember anything about what was your favorite thing to do in school?
Probably when they let me out.
Did you like math or reading or writing or any of those things? Spelling?
Well, yeah. Probably, I don't think I was too bad in math, but I don't know. Now, I've probably done just as little as I had to in any of them.
Just anxious to get outside and get out the door.
Yeah, I was glad of that, of course.
So who were some of your playmates? Jim Black?
Well, no, Jim. He was up in. He must have been the fourth grade when I was in the first grade, probably. Okay. He was way ahead of me, you know.
Okay, how about Harold? Harold was younger than you.
Yeah, Harold was probably there, I don't know. Because,
do you remember anybody else?
Well, you mentioned Arnold Glazer.
Imagine Arnold and probably Ethel was, I don't know what. I think she's just my age, come think about it.
I think so.
I think she is. I think she.
Yeah, Arnold was younger.
Yeah.
But we had a visit with Betty Glazer.
Betty Glazer?
Yeah, Ethel's older sister.
Yeah.
Do you remember her?
Yeah, I do remember her a little bit.
Was she down here with you?
I don't know. I don't remember. Oh. I don't remember that much about her. Maybe she was. Probably she was in like Jim Black's class, you know.
Okay, she's 95, so.
Oh, she must have been in.
Okay, in Jim's class.
Jim Black, Harry Pratt, and I don't remember. I don't remember what other ones would be.
Were there a lot of children named whose last name was Pratt? Do you remember?
No, I just remember Harry Pratt, yeah.
Because I come across that name and...
They used to fight a lot with rawhide whips, you know. Harry Pratt and Jim Black and old boy Howard, I guess, and...
Just
quick to get out of recess, they have some rawhide whips that they made up on the end of a stick, you know, like a horse whip, you know, like you used to have to make a horse go, you know. The boys used to fight with them a lot. And the upper class of the boys did that, older class.
Did anybody get hurt?
Probably got stung a little bit. I don't know if they got hurt too much, but.
Did they do that at recess?
Yeah.
Wow.
And any time that they were out of the schoolroom, you know, the bigger boys, like, let me see, who else could they be?
You said Boy Howard, right?
Boy Howard and Jim Black and Harry Pratt and. I don't know who else. Seems as though they would have been.
Were there any Linscott's?
I don't think so. Well, I don't know, would the Linscott be down here, or would they be been going to Moss Connor? I don't know.
Mm. They might have been, yeah.
That school's in Moss Connor up there, and it seems as though they'd be going up there. I can't remember any others, but it probably was one or two more guys about Jim and Boy Howard's class there. I don't remember anymore.
So did you have a special girlfriend back from when you were going to school?
No. I don't think so.
Well.
No.
It's, we had a nice talk with Betty Glazer. She remembered a lot of things.
Well, where does she live now, you know?
Springfield. She lives in Springfield.
Springfield? Oh, yeah. She ever get married?
Yes.
She did, huh?
When she was 60, I think she said.
Mm-hmm.
When she was 60 years old, she got married.
Oh, yeah.
No.
And her husband was there, too. Mr. Yes. House, his name, Barry House.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And his family had a plot of land right in the middle of Springfield, right in the middle of a neighborhood, but it was quite a big plot of land.
Yeah.
And Betty said 5 streets ended at their property.
Oh, yeah?
So I guess the streets had been made, you know, around this piece of property.
Oh, yeah.
Must have belonged to his family or something.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of neat.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So when your mother got married to Henry Towne and you moved to Morse Connor, were the girls there, Lil and Eunice and Hilda?
And Evelyn and Lil were married.
Oh.
Because Lil married Jim, you know.
Yeah.
Evelyn married Larry Sloboda. He was a doctor in New York.
Right.
And Eunice and Hilda and Bun. Elma, you know?
Yeah.
He was the only one left, I guess. Yeah.
And
yeah,
did,
they were there.
But you were still in school, and they were in school still? Did you go to school together?
Well, yeah. Must have been more kind of school then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute now. I was out. Let me see now. I went to Morse Connor School. I don't know if it was just 1 year or two years, you know, before I graduated from there, and of course Eunice is my age too, so
mm-hmm.
If I went up there, she must have gone up there too. And Hilda was a couple of years younger, and Bun he was 2 years younger than her. So, of course, they went to school up there. Probably most of the time, and they went to grammar school, I imagine, unless after they took four years from up there and brought them down here, depending on their age, you know. Maybe Elma might have gone down here for a year or two. I don't know for sure.
But that must have been different for you to just be living with your mother than all of a sudden have 5 brothers and sisters.
Yeah, well.
Oh, the two of them were married, so. Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Was Elmer a town?
Yeah. Bun and Hilda, I think, was about the only ones when I went up there.
Oh, just the two of them.
I didn't go up there for a month after my mother married Henry. I stayed over here alone.
Really?
When I was 16.
And you were 16?
Yeah, for a month because I didn't want to go up there. But then winter came on, so they came down and teased me enough that they wanted me to go up there. And, because winter came on then, so through the month of September it was, I guess. That, and October a little bit, I lived over here alone. And then I finally give up and went up there, and then I went to work for Carey Brothers in the sawmill, you know.
Oh.
Carey's all I had a sawmill. It was Walter Carey, and he had 6 sons. They all worked in the sawmill, you know. Wood was the occupation most everywhere around here then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Used to cut wood, and there was a lot of sawmills up and down the river, you know, and some of them had a portable sawmill that they moved around the woods too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So most everybody was in the sawmill business, so that was what most everybody's work was.
Is that what got you started in your own business, the sawdust business?
Well, no, that was after I got out of the service. Oh. Quite a while. I was probably 25 years old then, at least.
Oh.
Maybe a little more than that. I took the sawdust business over from Lindy Ball. Used to do that, but then he got sick of it, so he went to carpentering for a guy over in Greenfield, and he didn't like that either too good, and so then he went down, worked down to Amherst College as a janitor, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, down to the university there for a janitor. So then I took over his sawdust business, and that's what I'd done the rest of my life till I was 83.
I'm 83, wow. That's tremendous.
Yes.
Then I would have done a little more, but the sawmill where I was getting the biggest part of my sawdust, they went bankrupt.
Mm.
It was from up in Winchester, New Hampshire, you know. Mm. I used to get it a lot of sawmills at one time, but then at the last few years I got it. Just 2 sawmills, because they were big enough, so they was making plenty of sawdust, you know. And so, but then the one up Winchester, New Hampshire, that was Beeman's sawmill. He lived in New Hampshire, up to Winchester, but a few years before that, he sold it to somebody from Canada, and then they ran it for a couple of years, and they sold it to somebody else. And then that somebody else went bankrupt after a while, so I didn't have no more sawdust there.
Mm.
I couldn't even get a little sawdust now anywhere that I know of. There's only a couple of big mills last way there, not in Williamsburg. Then there's one big one up in Brattleboro, but that's a lot. I don't know, way off up there to get sawdust, and somebody else gets all of his sawdust now anyway, so.
Mm.
So when they went bankrupt, I had to quit.
Mm.
So when I first moved to Leverett, I remember hearing about you and that truck of yours and hauling sawdust. How many different places did you go to deliver the sawdust?
Oh boy, a lot of places. All over here, between 50 mile radius or so. I was getting it, at one time I was getting it from 7 or 8 sawmills at one time, but some of them sawmills were small ones, they weren't making very much sawdust, but then Beeman was from Winchester, and Hubbard was from Royalston. So they made up big sawmills where they were having 2 sawmills in the same place. So they was making a lot of it. So then I cut out them smaller ones and I got it as the bigger ones. So yeah, until I quit there.
So when you delivered it to the different people, what were they using it for? Bedding?
For bedding for the horses and cows, you know. Because there was a lot of farms around then, you know. Well, there was a lot of farms around, because some of the farmers, they got out of World War II by starting the farm business, see? They were the farmer. They didn't have to go in World War II.
Right.
A lot of men did at their age, but they didn't take somebody Making milk like that for everybody, yeah. You know. Well, I used to live all over the place. I look over my books once in a while. Anybody that wanted it. Well, they had one horse or
50.
There was a few that did have 50.
Really?
Yeah.
Would they pay you when you delivered it, or did you have to send them bills?
Well, I never sent out but one bill in all the time.
Really?
I lost quite a lot of money. I had a lot out when I quit. I never did get it. I probably had $10,000 or more out when I quit. But
wow.
I never did get it.
Yeah, you were always generous that way. Always giving.
Well, everybody does it. Does business with the public. These guys that used to make lumber at the sawmills, they used to have a lot of bills out to it, never paid them, you know. And no matter what anybody does, if they're doing business with the public, they get stung a lot for a lot of, they don't pay them for all of it, you know. Unless you tender it to them and take them to court, but the reason is they don't do that too much because that costs money too. It takes
your time and money.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, to change the subject a little bit, who were your parents?
Everett and Lina.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had half brother and half sister, really, that's all I had.
Oh.
Max's father was my half-brother.
My father.
Oh, okay.
He's my uncle.
But Uncle Wayne.
we didn't call you Uncle Wayne, we just called you Wayne Edgar. But the others, the towns were all... Oh, I know. You're talking about Elmer. Elmer would be a half-brother? No.
My half-sister.
Elma. Oh, yeah. Elma would be a half-sister. And then the others were step-sisters. The step-brothers.
Yeah. The towns were...
Yeah.
Yeah, step-sisters and brothers, yeah.
Yeah.
So your father died, then, right?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. His father died, yeah.
His father died.
Okay. My grandmother died, and then my father's father married Lina. Yeah, then Everett died. And Lina married Henrytown.
And what?
And then Lina married Henrytown.
Yeah, things were pretty tough back then, you know. Nothing like it is today. Nothing. Well, this world has changed a lot in the last 60 years or so, you know.
It sure has.
Yeah, when we lived over here, this next house, of course I was born in Greenfield Hospital, but this is where we lived over here, you know. Dirt roads, you know, no electricity and nothing, and we just had lamps and lanterns, you know. And my father got a living with a pair of horses, you know. Dragging logs into all these sawmills around. Most everybody had a driving horse, you know. Then when it got into about the last part of the 20s, you know, some of the cars began to show up a little bit. They made most Pontiacs and Chevrolets and things. I don't know where they made them. They weren't many around here, you know.
Did you have one of the first cars?
No, my first car was a Pontiac that my father had when he died. 1930 Pontiac. And that's what I run when I first got my license for a while. And then I traded that for a 32 Pontiac, I guess, from the Montague Garage. That was a pretty good looking car, but it didn't work. It didn't never start good. It would start after a while, but you had to do a lot of churning on it. I took it back to the dining garage in Everett Mountain, and one of the Montague garage down, you know, right up on Central Street. That garage was across from the post office, you know, you broke that road.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Everett Mountain run out. Yeah, that's, I think that's where I got the Pontiac. then after that, I took that. Well, that was after I was working, and I used to work anywhere that I could. But most of the time, I worked for Carry Boys with a saw, at the sawmill, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bill and I was on the truck once in a while. We'd deliver the lumber and so forth, you know. So I traded that Pontiac for a 35 Ford. You remember that, don't you? That was up in your garage.
Right, you stored it in our garage.
When I went to service.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that for quite a while.
Yeah, we used to go out and look at it and admire it. I don't know if my father drove it.
Yeah, he did.
He drove it.
Yeah. Some while I was in the service, because uh-huh. I left it up to your house, you know, there.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have much place to leave it down to Henry's there. So I let your father drive it. I don't know how much he drove it. I don't know, but...
I don't remember riding in it, but I was very young anyway.
Yeah, you must have been. You know, I got a picture of all you guys out in front of the house there, here. Somebody took your picture. All of
So, like when you did lumber, did you have to calculate board feet and all that? Did you do a lot of calculating with lumber, or?
Well, it had to be marked. Yeah, but I didn't do that when I worked at the sawmill. That was the marker. They called him the. Even the marker, when they saw mm-hmm. the board, and then it come to him, whatever it was, the width or the length, there's so much in it, you know. Mm-hmm. And he'd put it out in the pit there. And when I worked for Carries, I didn't take it out of the pit, but after I got out of the service, I done the same thing again. I used to have my own Model A truck. It wasn't registered, it just used them off the road. But I still didn't mark the lumber. I'd take the lumber from the pit where the marker was, sled it out into the pit, and I had to take it out in the field right within sight of the mill, where they'd stick it up, you know. I'd stick it up mm-hmm. and then put two sticks between it so it would get air, so it would dry good, you know.
Yeah.
So I done that for quite a few years before I started the sawdust business. But then a lot of the mills went out of business then too, you know. They ain't too many mills. Ain't hardly anything for mills around now, except the big ones I just told you about, Lashways then.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any mills around there, they're really pretty big ones now, you know. So.
I was just wondering if you had to use your math that you learned in school with your lumber business or your sawdust business.
I never had math for lumber.
And so you just did adding and subtracting and making change.
The marker at the mill, he made a mark on the lumber, whether it was a 6 foot or 12 foot or 14 foot long, you know, and so forth. He's done that. I worked for Fred Rowe. He was a lumberman for years. He had a little money. He's the one who used to buy the lots and then hire these guys that had the mill to saw the trees into lumber, you know. But sometimes after the lumber got dried, I would deliver a little bit from him, but I didn't too much. Somebody, Dick Roberts, used to draw a lot of lumber in his last few years from some of that lumber. It was dried for a year, you know. They,
mm-hmm.
Nobody wanted it too green, you know. They wanted it after it was dry.
Yeah.
You just reminded me of the 1938 hurricane when a lot of the pine trees around here fell down, and they ended up storing some of them in Leverett Pond. Them on the bottom of the, and they're still coming up.
Yeah,
they are.
Right.
Yes. So there must, I don't know how many are there, but and there were two. From Paul Woodard told me that there were two mills right on the edge of the pond there that, you know, were just, like you said, dragging the logs up out of the water, marking them, and then putting them on the truck. And I guess there was some sawing too, so that was a fascinating story.
Yeah, well, after that hurricane, you know, there was a lot of pines up in Lake Wyola, and it took every one of them down, you know. Had this wind, you know, took every one of them down. You know, my mother and I lived over there, just next house. And there used to be a garage just below the road, just below that driveway, right across the driveway. And the wind was blowing terrible. We walked that garage, it blew that garage right down.
Ooh. Oh my goodness.
Right across the, where they come out of that driveway over there. It was right across the, on the other side of the road down. Took that down, but took it. All the pines down up to Lake Wyola too, you know, they was all down, so. And over in the Quabbin too, on Route 22 over there, they took all them pines down around them, around the, quite a few ponds over that way too, you know, Quabbin and so forth. And so a lot of them had to put the Williams brothers, Heim Williams and Bill Williams, you know, they had a saw, and Raymond Williams.
Wow.
And they had two mills, right? Heim and Bill had one of them themselves, and Raymond, their brother, lived in Montague, and he had a mill too, and he used to saw them trees up, and then they'd put them right in the pond, so they stayed there quite a long time, you know, and then they got them out of the pond. That was years ago, of course, but they got them out of the pond. They're still good.
That's right.
They was heavy.
That's amazing.
They was heavy though, because they soak up a lot of water, but they dry out again, so they made lumber out of them.
Wow.
And
some of that went to the government.
Yeah.
They were telling me, Paul was telling me that some of those logs were sold to the government.
Yeah. 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 The government had some mills of their own too at that time.
I had another question. I can't think of it.
Well, you have quite a history.
Absolutely.
My goodness. What do you use a computer at all now?
No, I ain't even got no computer.
Do you think that's good for kids to have computers at school now?
No, I don't. They'll. Too hard on their eyes. Everybody's looking at them. Well, the computer too, but them
iPhones.
Them phones.
Games.
They can't even ride a bicycle down Main Street in Greenfield. They don't look where they're going at all. They're just looking at them. Cell phones. Everybody's looking at them.
Right? Oh, I know.
Too many are looking at them when they're driving and everything else. No, I ain't got one. I don't want one either.
So you've got a grandson who got married recently.
Yeah. He's got everything. He's got a garage up here, you know. Now he has a lot of business too. He does good. He's awful good.
That's what I've heard.
Mechanic. Yeah. He's only 22, but he can fix cars. Pictures, cars, and trucks, and
body work.
And he buys a lot of snowmobiles, so you can find them to buy and sell them over and make a lot of money with buying snowmobiles. Yeah, he does well up here.
Where are they living?
Living right over, right now. They're going to build a house right down here, just the other side of where I used to live. They got a He's bought a piece of land up there.
Okay.
In the last couple of years, They built a barn up there where he keeps. He's gonna build a house up there.
Is that the one that the Farleys had?
Yeah.
Up on the hill.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. He bought it from Johnny Farley there, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
Because the Farleys used to live over here.
Yes.
And my mother sold that to, after my father died. She sold this place to Farleys.
Oh, did she?
They came out from Greenfield, you know. And They all lived there until they died. Maynard Farley, he got married and moved to Maine, I guess, but he died up in Maine. And then there was only Johnny and Peggy and Charlotte Farley left again. Charlotte, she married
the kid, Jerry Carey.
Huh?
Jerry Carey.
Helped in Shrewsbury, yeah. And then Peggy died a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That is.
And John is. John is.
Wendy Black.
Wendy. Yeah, Wendy and John. Wendy, she married Wendy Black.
Yeah, Wendy was Harold Bice.
Harold's daughter.
Yeah.
We're all like this.
Well, it was interesting because Hemingway Road is right up there and it runs pretty well parallel to this road.
Yeah.
So it was only natural that the kids would come down there and play, or kids would go up there and play or get married or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it was quite well. Yeah. So it was fun.
Well, did you know Wayne's wife, Barb, she lived at the foot of Dickinson Road?
Right. She was a Williams?
Yes.
Yes. So when I first came, William Williams and his wife was there.
Oh, he lived there then?
Yes.
Well, you've been here a while.
So in the late 60s, they were still there for a short time, I think.
Mm-hmm. And my brother married Barb's sister, Carol.
Okay.
So we're related in a lot of ways.
Yep.
Called convolution, I guess.
You live up there alone now, don't you?
Now I do, yeah. Yeah, my kids are grown up. One lives in Seattle, Washington.
She moved up here?
Mm-hmm.
She moved up here to North Leverett?
My daughter was actually born up here in North Leverett, but she now is grown up and has children of her own. And she lives in Seattle, Washington, all the way across the country.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's cold, huh? Cold up there, too, isn't it?
No, not so bad. No,
no.
It's pretty mild. It's pretty temperate, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was...
Because of some current or something in the Pacific Ocean, I think, keeps it relatively mild.
Oh, well, that's good.
Far north as Alaska or anything.
Yeah.
So, and then my son... works. He has a business he has a moving business in Brooklyn, New York. But he has a girlfriend in Brattleboro, Vermont. So he goes back and forth. So I see him once in a while. When he's on his way. So
I have another question. Do you remember the garage that used to be right down here at the Howard's? Didn't the Howards have a little garage and a little store?
Yeah.
Right down there?
Yeah. Yeah, they should have the building is still right there.
Yes.
You know, Ethan held it there.
Yeah.
And Andy, that was Andy's grandfather.
And Stoney's garage down further, across from where Susan lives?
Mm-hmm.
Stoney's garage?
Well, he didn't have much of a garage there, did he? He had a couple of gas pumps, didn't he?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And a card table,
yeah,
I heard.
That's where Arthur Doolittle used to live right there. And then,
I understand there was a pool table, too, in there.
Yeah, they used to play pool in there a lot.
And, of course, you had Chapin's or Glazier's.
Yeah, there used to be four gas stations.
Amazing.
In North Leverett here at one time.
Where was the fourth one?
Fourth one was Stockwell. He was the first house just below the North Liberty Montague Line there, you know, the first house down there.
Okay.
Stockwell used to have a gas pump there. Back in Model A days. He used to pump it, and there was no electricity, so he had to stick the nozzle in the tank, you know, and pump it by hand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember Henry Tellen used to stop there and get his gas.
You know, you could make a lot of money. You should suggest that gas pumps have that as an auxiliary, because when electricity goes out, like in Florida, people couldn't get gas because there wasn't electricity. Mm-hmm. They should have that on pumps as a backup.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You should tell people about that.
Yeah.
You should design one.
I've got troubles enough. I don't want more.
Oh, Wayne, you're funny.
Yeah, there was that gas pump, and then there was Wilton Stone. He was selling gas there for a while, you know, right across from the Hannah Brooks driveway there, you know. And
okay.
He bought that Arthur Lulu building from Coles, you know, Walter Jones there.
Yeah.
And then there was the Buckmaster one. Evan Buckmaster used to own a store down here. I guess he sold it a couple of times after that. But there used to be two gas pumps there, you know. And then up here to the Ethan Howard was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing, because now we have to drive all the way to Hadley.
Yeah, since Rouse closed. Yeah.
Or Greenfield, yeah. Turner's Falls.
There used to be 6 gas stations in Northfield. 6 right up through Northfield.
Really? And they don't have any now, do they?
No, none at all.
Mm.
Wow.
Mm. All,
you're right, times have changed.
All the way from Montague, you got to go clear to Gill. I mean, from Orange, you got to go clear to Gill before you, on Route 2 there, now they're making that bigger one across from the Turner's Falls Gill Bridge, you know,
the bridge.
They're changing it all over now. They're going to have a lot bigger gas station.
Are they?
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
See, that's...
Where do you like to buy your gas?
I buy it in Greenfield most of the time, you know. Either down on the Mohawk Trail or up on Pedal Street. That's about the only gas stations in Greenfield now. There's 3 of them down on the Mohawk Trail, you know, south of the trail. But then up on Federal Street, there's 3 or 4 more.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra's got 2 of them up there, and then Speedway's got 1, and Cumberland Farms, they got a bigger one there now, so there's 4 or 5 on Federal Street now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then there ain't no more until you get to Burniston. Sandra's got another one up in Burniston. You know, if you're going north.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, you have been so kind to share so much with us. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah.
If I done you any good, you're welcome.
Are you still going to go to Greenfield now?
No, I think I might as well wait till tomorrow now.
Yeah. It gets getting dark so early now. And I was thinking in a week or two it's going to be dark already by now, because they're going to switch the time on us.
When's that, the first Saturday in November?
Something like that,
November
early 5th, November.
I think somebody
is said it the 5th?
Yeah.
That's
a week from Saturday.
Ooh.
But if I don't have anything to do tomorrow morning, I'll drive you to Greenfield.
You can go with me if you want, but it's probably you don't dare ride with me, huh?
I don't know. You say you're a better driver than ever, so I'll take your word for it.
I'm just as good as I ever did.
Well, your car doesn't have a license plate on it.
Yeah, you know why? Because my boy went to get a sticker on it yesterday.
Oh?
I haven't had that one registered for quite a while, because I use my pickup all the time. Pickups up here all the time. But he took that down to... Get a sticker yesterday down in South Deerfield where we always get our stickers, and the guy come out because the paint on the number plate, not the letter, you know, but the paint in between all the letters cracked up a little bit, you know, because the normal plates have been on that for quite a few years. Just cracked up a little. Don't hurt it a bit, but the guy came out and said he wouldn't give him a sticker on it because it's cracked up. So that's what I got to go to Greenfield for. And they'll give you a new plate for nothing over to the registry, because it never did have a front plate on it for years anyway. So.
Yeah,
but I'm going to try to get the front plate too this time.
Well, you will get two plates. They've done away with the one plate.
Yeah, maybe.
When I got my last car, I had to get two plates.
Yeah, I think they have.
And they changed from green to red. You know, it's red. The letters are red now instead of green. So.
Oh yeah.
Changes.
The paint is cracked up there between the letters, you know. Don't do a bit of hurt because the letters are so big you can see it from anywhere, you know. But and my pickup, that's only got one plate on it too. And when I went to get a sticker, I got it over to Rubens here for the for the pickup last year, and he wouldn't give me a sticker. He came out and said you got to have a front number plate. But then I went over to the registry and to try to get one. They said over to the registry that law hasn't gone through yet. You don't have to have a front number plate. So I didn't get one.
So you go back and get a sticker?
Well, I didn't go back there. I got it at Gribco down South Deerfield.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Down there and got a 10.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Always something different.
I don't see why they've done away with that anyway. I think it's a good idea to have a front number plate. So for some criminals, you know, they're chasing a car or meeting a car going the other way, and they see no number plate on the front.
Right.
And they get a place for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well.
Have you ever tried to get a Purple Heart on your plate? Because those would be free.
No, I haven't tried though.
No, because you're too humble. But they won't charge you to get a new plate?
No. That's what they say. You can go get your new plate and they'll give it to you if you need one. That's what the guy told my Glenn, you know, my son, yesterday. So I went over there last night. I was going to go up and get it, but I stopped down at McDonald's first to get a cheeseburger, and it poured so over there. Then I came home, so I wasn't going up to the registry. It poured awful.
It was.
Yeah. How did you drive with it? It's hard to drive when it's raining so hard.
No, it didn't bother me anymore.
Oh, goodness.
Well, it let up a little bit after I left Greenfield a little bit. It did lead up, but I wasn't, when it was coming down the worst, I was eating over the McDonald's.
Well, you're lucky you had electricity then, because Greenfield lost their power.
Oh, did they?
Along Main Street because of a squirrel.
Oh!
I think it was like 3 to 5 o'clock or so.
Oh, yeah, I see it said.
You saw that in the paper?
It said in the paper there.
Yeah.
I didn't read it yet, but I see it said it was caused from a squirrel.
Yeah. They think the squirrel died.
About every year that happens.
It does.
Gets into the electrical box.
I'm surprised they're not animal proof or squirrel proof.
I know.
I know. You'd think they would.
Yeah.
You think they would.
Because it did happen last year. I remember that.
Yeah, it happens about every year. Squirrel gets into the electrical box there they have up on the poles, you know.
Huh.
I think they would stop it. But I know.
Well, squirrels better learn. You don't survive eating hot wires.
Well, thank you so much.
And I'll read this and share it with my husband. He'll enjoy it.